Yes, g'day everyone. Tuesday, April 23, the Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab. A very good morning to you wherever and however you are listening. And yes, as you heard in Jono's intro there, the man with the best cologne collection in the Southern Hemisphere, Phil Moss, is joining us this morning. How are you, Mossy?
I'm good, Middo. Morning, Loz. Davidoff Cool Water is the cologne of choice this morning, Loz.
Can smell him from here.
I thought it was from the
Well, that's
park.
Not difficult with my hooter. I can smell them from anywhere. Morning, Mossy.
Good to see you, mate.
Middo.
What's that? What's doing?
What's doing? Not a great deal.
Short week?
A short week. Looking forward to Anzac Day. I think it's
one of the best. If
not the best day of the year, when we remember all those that have fought for our wonderful country. Looking forward to the football on the weekend. Some good matches, in particular on Anzac Day, just the way that they do the whole occasion, how we celebrate our history and celebrate what the Anzacs have done for our country. So, yeah, in all sports, really looking forward to the weekend, looking forward to Thursday. We'll be down in Adelaide for the golf. Looking forward to seeing my first LIV golf tournament, seeing what happens on the course, Mossy.
That'll be good fun, Loz.
Mm.
Yeah. What, have you got an official capacity?
Well, I'm not a big golfer.
Mm.
No, not an official capacity. Just walking around having a bit of a geek.
That'll be awesome. Yeah. Well, I love my golf. I'm not great at it.
Mm.
Hit off about 13 at the moment, but I would love to go and see. Yeah, look, it's competitive.
Yeah.
But on a good day.
We saw it last year, and the crowds that turned up for that event were massive, and in particular at that party hole. And the scenes when, was it Kepta's brother?
Yes.
He hit the hole in one.
Mm.
Like when they just went off and they started throwing their...
Superb,
wasn't it? Yeah, I just wanted to be involved in that.
What would you have done, Loz?
I would have just jumped up and down and...
So uncalled for.
But would you have got rid of, you know, your beer?
Depends
you
how much I'd left.
Yeah, it. Okay, right, fair enough.
If I just brought the shout... No.
No.
No, and I'd had one mouthful. Yeah. No, I wouldn't have been. But if I had a little bit of beer left in it, yeah, I would have.
How would you, but if you bought the round and you had like a few mates with you.
Well, that's counted as a round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, and
they got rid of it. Well,
and they all threw it up in the air.
Well, I'd be just demanding a beer straight away because I'd skull mine then. And put
it would hurt
on.
A little, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It would hurt a little if you just made the effort to go to the bar, bring back a shout, and they'll throw them up in the air.
Well, but just as long as you don't have to go
back. Well, you're not throwing yours up. Well, I wouldn't throw mine up.
Not a chance.
I'd have a big skull or a sip.
I'd celebrate, but I'd put the beer down and then maybe jump.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not wasting beer over a golf show.
No, neither am I.
Well, lots of news to get through today. Just this text. Hey, boys, out walking around the town of Jericho in Queensland listening to you. Good on you, Steve.
Where's Jericho?
Jericho in Queensland, I believe, is a fair way in the middle of nowhere. Yeah, it's out towards Longreach, direct west from Rockhampton.
Right.
So it's like Blackall, Longreach, that sort of area.
Well,
so
morning to you.
West of Emerald.
Who is it? Steve.
Steve.
From Jericho.
Yeah.
I'm assuming he might be. Well, if he's up that way, a Bronco or a Cowboy? What are you tipping?
Well, you're more a Cowboy up there, aren't you?
You've got to remember, though, the Broncos were around first.
True. Let us know, Steve. But on the text line, 0419767272. Newcastle, obviously the big story, though, today. They were $26 to win the premiership after round one, coming, of course, off the back of their run at the end of last year into the finals. They're now $81 with Tab to win the premiership this year and into $8 in the most losses market. So they're on the fourth line of betting there. The Titans are very short, though. They're $1.55 to have the most losses this season. After the news yesterday that Kalyn Ponga has a Lisfranc injury after scans on his foot, so he's out for 3 months. Oh, Loz, I don't reckon we're going to see him for the rest of the year. And if we do, like, it's almost to the point, why? If you come back, say, there's 3-4 weeks left in the season?
Well, there's no point.
No point.
There's no point. If
unless
they
they're
aren't,
in finals contention.
Yeah, if they aren't going to play finals and Kalyn is, you know, ready to go with 3 or 4 weeks to go, I don't see the point in playing him. Why risk him? Give him that time to recover from his injury. But everyone is different with these type of injuries. I think it can be months, obviously, but it'll come down to how he recovers and how his body handles it all. But if he's back, you know, for a month, 5-6 weeks, well, you've got to play. But if it's only a couple of games, you wouldn't. But I think all night supporters would be pessimistic about their chances now because they made the finals last year on the back of Kalen. That's exactly what they did. But it gives them a greater opportunity now to explore a different style, the possibility of doing that, you know, not being reliant on him, going away from, you know, playing the ball or playing for the set-up plays for Kalen. So I think that they get a greater opportunity now to work on a different style, become a harder and tougher football team, become a more competitive team rather than the flashy plays, just get out there and compete hard. They've still got enough talent in the squad, you know, but the focal point has always been Kalen. So it could work in their favour. I'm not saying they'll go from, you know, to win no games from here to the back end of the season. I think they're still capable of winning games of football. And you never know. You get a bit of confidence. And we speak about this comp this year being as tight as ever. You'll get upsets along the way. So all's not lost if you're a Newcastle supporter, but it just makes it a little bit tougher without your best player.
He is, though. Like we spoke for years with the turbo thing at Manly and the percentage, the win percentage when he's not out. It's comparable, obviously, to the Knights without Kalen Ponga. But now I have more confidence in Manly to deal without Turbo than Newcastle without Kalen.
Yeah, but they've had to deal with it for a number of years. Mm. That's the issue. And they learn to play without him. Sometimes when you're playing with a superstar and he's not there and you become reliant on him, that's your focal point. Now, they've got enough time in the season to be able to work on a new style or a system. But it all comes back to competing. If they compete hard, they've still got enough talent. Like Bradman Best is a very good player. They're talking about young Armstrong coming into fullback. He's a really good player. You know, they've got a good forward pack, strong forward pack. And I think that's where they've got to start to look to play, not so much through the edges, but play a bit more through the middle and play to their strengths, which they've got now is their forward pack. And then if they do that, they can create that space and a bit of time on the edges for their halves. But look, I'm not here and I'm going to say that Newcastle won't win games because I think they will win games. But I think it'll be tough to win the amount of games they need to play finals because they're coming off the back fence now because they've only won a couple of games and they're quite a way back.
Origin Futures Series winner market didn't change. Queensland is still $1.80, the slightest of favourites to win the series. New South Wales, $2 with Tab off the back of the news.
They've got some injuries, though, Queensland. Queensland have got plenty of injuries to their forwards. I know if you look at it now, they'll still put a strong 17, and you never underestimate Queensland, but they're not as strong as what they were. And you can't be without Tino. And you can't be... Like, if Reece Walsh gets injured, you know, we were talking about the possibility of how do you fit Ponga and Walsh in, and that's why you never sort of write in your team 7 weeks out from an Origin game, because you just don't know who's available. But, you know, if something happened to Reece Walsh, you know, I know we talk about how great the fullback stocks are in the NRL, but they're two massive players for Queensland, and it's always good to have someone sitting there, isn't there? A superstar sitting there that can't get a run and twofold. One, if you get an injury to Reece Walsh, but also Reece Walsh then knows he's got to play to a certain standard. Otherwise, I mightn't be in the team. It's interesting. Yeah, I know last year was completely different. Reece got his opportunity and grabbed it with both hands, and he's a wonderful player. But it's also a bit of a safety blanket to have, knowing. And I know Kalen wasn't there last year and he didn't make himself available, but still nice to know if both those players are available. You can pick two together or just go with Reece and have the other one waiting there in the wings if you need him.
Gee, it was only a week ago we were talking about how they were going to fit them in, weren't we, Mossy?
Yeah, amazing. A week in football, in any sport, really. But did you sense any sympathy in Loz just before when he was talking about all the injuries that Queensland have? And
not really.
I didn't sense anything. I sensed some wishful thinking, if anything.
Yeah.
I'm pretty confident. I know I'm always confident.
Yeah.
But
I
am. Yeah.
Never confident.
I just think Tino's a massive loss for Queensland.
Yeah, he is.
I think, and Tom Gilbert. Although they do get Jai Arrow back this weekend, there's some talk that he'll make a return for South Sydney after the break. They're playing Melbourne on Anzac Day, which will be another wonderful contest. I see Cookie is about to be named in the squad too, so that's good for him. Good for South to have a couple of experienced players back. But yeah, no, I think it'll be another. Yeah, great Origin series. They're always great, no matter who is playing. But I certainly think that New South Wales under Madge will be a lot stronger, tougher. It'll be interesting to see who he selects, because I think it'll have a distinct different look about it. I think it'll be a different look to what we've seen the last few years.
I believe I was talking to someone in the know the other week. I've got two people in my life in the know when it comes to rugby league, Loz and one other, who I won't name, but he reckons that Madge is like custom made for Origin as a coach. Like the skills that he's got, the skill set, the way he coaches is well suited.
Yeah, I think he's well suited to any form of the game. But obviously working with the Kiwi side over the last couple of years has given him a good indication of how you work with a group of players in a short period of time and how to get the best out in them. And I think it's also an advantage when you first start, because you've got no an alignment with any particular group or particular player. So you can sit back, watch it all unfold, and then go with who you want and what your expectation of them are. You actually can guide them and say, these are my principles, this is what I'm looking for. You show me that you want to be a part of this team. Sometimes, and you know as a coach, when you've coached players, you get a greater understanding of them, you build a relationship with them. Sometimes it's always harder to move those players on, whereas it's always easier, I think, when you first start to bring your own together and develop together rather than inheriting what other people have put there for you.
Now, those listening in Outback Queensland, Steve says he's a mighty Manly fan, he says. Manly. And he's from Woi Woi and he's travelling in a caravan.
Oh, there you go.
So good on you, Steve. And this one from Jared. Hey, boys, I'm even further out than Steve. I'm in between Cloncurry and Mount Isa in a lead mine. So that is proper Outback as well out there. It's way over near the territory border, Loz. Well, I'm sure the territory border is still probably a few hundred k's away, but way out over.
Working in the mines.
Working in the mines. So there.
Good
you go.
On you. Good Thanks on for you, listening. Jared.
And naturally, lots of Kalyn Pogger on the back pages of the paper. Courier Mail in Queensland have taken the Origin angle. State of shock. Foot injury rules Pogger out of Origin series. And there it is, back page of the Herald. Night terror. Ponga injury, a hit for Maroons. On the back page of the Daily Telegraph in Sydney, though, read it and weep. Charge Angers dogs. Melee fallout. So the tunnel incident and the incident on the field. So Knights forward Jack Hetherington accepted a one-match ban for contrary conduct in that square-off with Reed Marnie in the tunnel. Now, Marnie was also charged and will be fined. The dogs say, you know, it's over the top because the NRL pains to say Marnie's charge comes from what happened on the field rather than what happened in the tunnel when he was essentially just shoved by Hetherington. Oh, I think the whole thing's a bit of an overreaction, Loz. Is it really worth a week for Jack Hetherington? Look, is that really worth a week?
Well, I said yesterday I didn't think it was. Now, reflecting on those comments, you probably look at it and go, you can't do that in the tunnel. You can't have that contact with the opposition player. I still thought it was and the more I keep watching it, Jack, obviously it's a brain explosion, but I thought he was mucking around. But then you see the reaction of Reed, and Reed's sort of a bit shocked by it. So I understand why he's been charged, and I would have been happy for a fine, but 1 week, yeah, I suppose, you know, they've got to set a standard. But I'm shaking my head still about what happened with Reid on the field and why he was charged.
Mm.
I think we see that a lot.
Yeah, very, very little. I don't get that either.
No.
Phil Gould, just on Hetherington on 100% footy last night, said that, you know, he knows Jack Hetherington quite well and said he's 100% mucking around. He said he's a bit mad, different. He said, from what he knows of Jack Hetherington, which he said I know him quite well, in his words.
Well, that's what I thought.
He thought he was mucking around.
Well, I saw the smile on his face.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, if Jack wanted to, if Jack really wanted to, if he was serious, Reid wouldn't have been standing up.
No. I don't think many would against Hetherington.
No. No. And I know Jack through his father, and I've known Jack since he was a young boy. If he really wanted to do some damage, he would have done some damage. So I'm a bit the same. I thought it was just a muck around. I thought there might have been a connection there. But obviously they've fined him. They're going to give him a week suspension. So, look, I'll accept that. But I thought it might have been just a money fine.
And it's on the back page of the Herald as well. Hetherington lucky ban wasn't longer, warns NRL. So read the Riot Act in a way there. As well there yesterday. Also on the back page of the Courier Mail, why Walsh will be NRL's first $2 million man. And, $2 million plus, I reckon, when you think the amount of endorsements, etc. he can collect in time. Marketing magic, isn't it, Bruce Walsh?
I think that's the key, isn't it? Like, he's obviously worth what he's worth on the pitch, but off the pitch, he's very marketable. And he knows... the role he's got, and he knows how to play it from what I see on camera, rocking up to games, the way he rocked up to the grand final, sunnies on and all style.
Oh, maybe E.T. levels loss.
Well, I'll tell you this about E.T. I'll tell you this about E.T. So E.T. was a genius on the field. But one thing that he doesn't get enough credit for is how tough he was. Andrew Enninghausen was as tough as anyone that's ever played the game. Because everyone wanted to give it to him, and everyone just thought he was this pretty-faced young footballer that had a bit of talent, but we'll give it to him and we'll see how good he is. Well, he handled everything thrown at him. And he was also able to produce on the field and off the field with endorsements. He was such a gentleman and was a guy that promoted things as well as anyone. And to play with him was exceptional because I think that what he had to put up with, you know, and people sledging him and coming after him.
And it would have been back then.
Oh, mate, back then.
He would have copped a lot.
Oh, mate, who's this pretty boy? Who does he think he is? And everyone wanted to get a piece of him or have a piece of him. But he didn't shy away. Not that he was a fighter or a reactor to things that happened to him. But I saw people try and do some really nasty things to him. But just kept going. Got up, played the ball, moved on. Wonderful player.
Also back page of the telly, famous rugby names in rebel plot to oust RA board. It's on the back page of the Australian as well. Ignored power brokers petitioning for support to oust Rugby Australia's board. This is exactly what rugby needs at the moment, just more instability. I mean, for goodness sake. And I'm sure people are aggrieved. I'm sure there were things put in place under the previous regime, under Hamish McLennan, etc., and the previous CEO. Well, bad luck. I mean, we've got a new regime in. There's been huge turmoil in the game. Just give them some clear air, for goodness sake. Let Phil Waugh and his team do their job.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, you know, sometimes it feels like with some of these boards, it feels like the local golf club or your local RSL when you've got some disgruntled people trying to get on the board. Just, I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, rugby doesn't need this right now. Last thing they need.
You got two choices. Like, you can be part of the solution. Or you can stay on the outside and throw rocks at the place. And if you're on the outside, you can still be part of the solution. But I just feel like rugby union, first and foremost, I think they killed the game with far too many laws of the game on the field. It's hard to watch. And I used to love my rugby union. But I remember speaking to Rod McQueen once at a luncheon. And this is going back quite a few years now, probably 10 or so years. And I said, what's going on with your game? And I don't want to put words in Rod's mouth, so I won't quote him. But certainly the the theme of the conversation was around we're killing ourselves because it's two stop start. The referee becomes more of a star than the players. That's on the field. Off the field, like Phil, I had a fair bit to do with Phil Waugh at NAB as a leader. He's a fantastic leader. He knows the game inside and out. He's captained his country. He's got corporate experience. He's got board experience. Like if you'd have to mount a pretty firm argument to me that there's someone better placed to lead the game out of the mire that it's in at the moment. So people just need to get behind him.
And the board, for that matter.
And the board, of course.
Yeah.
I know this is about the board, not so much the senior management, but if the board goes, you can bet your bottom bottom dollar, the senior management will be changed again.
Well, they've got an AGM next Monday, so apparently this group wants to ensure that the board's thrown out at the AGM next Monday. I mean, seriously. The Wallaroos, by the way, just got a 6-year deal with Cadbury, who are also sponsoring the men's, the Wallabies. Yesterday, so there's a little bit of progress. And on the text line, Turtle says, "Middo, Anzac Day, Manly Oval." And you'll know a bit about this, Mossy, being a Northern Beaches person. Local derby, Marlins versus, as he puts it, Turtle, the scum Warringah Rats. If you want a great day, get down there. The women starting 9 a.m, 4 grades with first grade kicking off 3 p.m. Both teams flying, will be a ripper day. And that is always, I've been to one of those derbies before. And they're great crowds always, aren't they?
The Turtle. So the Turtle wrote that in.
Yep.
Well, the great Turtle, Damien Cummins, used to captain Manly.
Yes.
I wonder.
Yeah,